Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. Thanks for joining us. We're live in the 1:30 hour here. On a Wednesday. That's about halfway through the weekend, Brit. What do you got planned for the weekend?
Well, you know, we're going to be out in the garden and doing some yard work like
That's
everybody
great.
Else, heading over to home.
That's
getting
great.
Some mulch, all that shit.
Firing up the old barbecue.
Yeah, firing up the old barbecue, you know, watching the ACC tournament like we always do this time of year.
Oh, it's so excellent. It's so excellent. You know, you just remind me when you said that. Let me find this real fast here. Did you know that there is now a barbecue Hall of Fame?
I saw the story and I was not aware. And is it like it's a real Hall of Fame, or is it like that broadcasting Hall of Fame that Dumont idiot put together for a number of years out of the trunk of his car?
No, I think it's real. I think it's real, and it's brand new, and it just started. They just put in the first
class.
Yeah, so you have to figure that it's like the Baseball Hall of Fame or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That first class is always, you know, the best of the best, right? And then it starts to go downhill, and you know, the next thing you know, you have, you know, people like us are in there for no reason. We have no skill.
It's the guy that invented the Cajun hush puppy. We're going to put him in because he was the first guy to put Cajun seasoning on a hush puppy.
That's right. That's right. Here it is. Their inaugural class.
Yeah.
And there was a ceremony March 1st in Burlington, North Carolina. We know where that is.
Which, and I mean, 300. If you're a true barbecue aficionado, Burlington, not one of the hallmark cities for barbecue in North Carolina. I know that's going to sound like heresy to some people, but it's not. It's Lexington. But, it's Wilson. Well, it's 15.
Hang on a second. Wait. But you're missing the point here, because it isn't where the best barbecue joint is, so you have it there. It's whoever has the initiative to have it built. For instance, Britt, the ACC tournament was played in Greensboro, basketball, yes. Men's, most of the time, but there was no college here that was actually, so it didn't matter, right?
Making points matter. Over nothing, the Brad Krantz story. Would it make more sense to have the Barbecue Hall of Fame in some place like, I don't know, let me pick a city? Lexington. Would that make more sense, Brad?
No, because it's out of the fucking way, and it's not on an interstate highway, and they're looking to probably make money with it and have people show up.
Are you familiar with I-85? Because I think I-85 goes right by Lexington. I think it's as close to Lexington as I-40 is to Burlington.
We're so in the weeds. We're so in the weeds, because you have to decide that, because where it is the issue, where the, you know, God.
As a true aficionado, as the only North Carolina native, as the only guy who's ever smoked a pork shoulder, yes, it should be in Wilson, or it should be, but I think they've split the baby on this one.
You know what? That's not the only thing you've ever smoked.
What does it mean? And also, that's inaccurate. But it's a good class. I'm looking at the class of people, and these are all people that are legends in the business for sure.
That's right. But you know what? It's in the wrong place. So,
well, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry to point out the obvious.
You know, I'll go one more on you. Just because Alan fucking Freed was from Cleveland,
now we're
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland? Because they had the initiative to build it there.
That makes sense. Well, this is why so many other
everybody in so Chicago, many other native, everybody in LA, everybody in New York, they all think it should have been there.
This is why you've been passed up by so many more native Clevelanders who are beloved, like the Kelsey brothers, because you shit on Cleveland every time you get a chance to, and you won't toe the company line.
may Eric Carmen marry your sister and convert her into a Trumper.
First of all, I think it's illegal to marry.
Right. You don't have a sister, and Eric Carmen's dead. I know.
Yeah, you can't marry dead people, I don't think. I'm pretty sure. But if you and your ilk get there,
ask that woman who's marrying Rupert Murdoch. Huh?
Game, set, match.
Touchdown. Okay. Jesus.
That's
good. Okay. Here's the list. Ready?
I'm ready.
Aaron Rodgers or Jesse Ventura? Give us a call. Honest Don. Georgia, really on my mind for good reason today. Steph Curry, come on down. So far off the charts, it's almost paranormal, he wrote. Oh, Lord. New disease, but actually an old disease with a new name, money dysmorphia.
Never heard of this.
And MAGA maggots everywhere, from Oklahoma to North Carolina, running for office and sometimes winning.
Just go ahead and start with the first story, the first thing on your list, because I think this is the fakest bullshit that I've seen in a long, long time. RFK Jr. is set to be this close, Brad, to naming a vice president. And among his pick are a couple of D-list celebrities.
This is as of 2 hours ago. So this is not what you thought you knew. This is an update.
Oh, it's an update.
Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura topped the list of candidates RFK Jr.'s preferred running mate list has generated so far. But the headline is, he says he's already chosen among either those two or possibly, of course, someone else. This was first reported by the, boy, we're going to get a Pulitzer for this one, the New York Times.
Okay. Was this a Maggie Haberman? Was this a Peter Baker? One of the
I didn't bother to read the original story. It was too late.
I hope they put only their best people on this story.
Jesse Ventura's son told ABC News today in a statement that, quote, there's been no formal offer from the Robert Kennedy camp. And of course, the governor from 25 years ago of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura.
What the fuck is a formal offer? What is a formal offer? Does it have to come on the stationery of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., truth denier and piece of shit?
So this is Jesse Ventura's son calling his father the governor.
Oh, okay. Right.
It's always kind of problematic. Yeah.
It's cute.
Kennedy has publicly displayed his relationships with Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura. They actually have formed a new party to run with. It's not the Reform Party. It's not the Independent Party. It's not the Libertarians. It's the Asshole Vaccine Deniers Party.
That's a good
one. Either one of them can go with Kennedy.
Are they just shortening to AVD? Is that what they're doing?
Asshole. Yeah, I like that. Both men share RFK's affinity for a lot of debunked claims. Of course, we mentioned the vaccines and conspiracy theories about 9/11. These two guys, they kind of have it all when you think about it. RFK's not assured the ability to be on the ballot anywhere yet. Think about this, anywhere. So
thank
we're
you.
Talking about something that might
thank
not
you.
Ever happen, is not likely to happen,
thank
it
you.
Shouldn't happen. But
we may have buried the headline, everybody. I'm just
He's on one state ballot. You want to play what state is he already on?
Rhode Island.
No, I'll give you a clue. It starts with the letter U.
In Utah? He's fucking in Utah?
Yeah.
Oh, I nailed it.
Yeah.
Let me just write. This is the fakest fucking story in the history of humanity. And for it to have any oxygen in the past six news cycles is pathetically disgusting for a number of reasons. One of which Brad just mentioned. This guy's on one ballot in one state. And it doesn't matter who RFK Jr. picks as his running mate. If it's Tom Cruise, Tom Brady, or Jesus Christ, he ain't doing nothing. It doesn't matter. And for this thing to get this much attention is just, it's just the most horrendous bullshit in the history of humanity. Now, wait a minute. I will give Jesse Ventura this much credit. He's hardcore on January the 6th. He wouldn't be like Aaron Rodgers, like, well, they really overestimated it, and it really wasn't anything but a tourist. No, Jesse Ventura says what it was an insurrection, and it was an atrocity toward the American people. So he gets credit there, but the rest of this is, in the words of Archie Bunker.
Do you think that RFK Jr. knows that Jesse Ventura has that take about January 6th? Because if he does, I think that's got to knock him out.
It will take you all of 4 seconds to Google it. I mean, if he doesn't know, he's a bigger idiot than we thought.
There's lots of common things that you think people automatically know or could know if they just Googled it, and they don't know them.
If he's too stupid to know that, he's disqualified himself automatically from president, just from being president, among 150,000 other reasons, but that would be one of them. If you're too dumb to know that, you're too dumb to be president.
Oh, so you apply that to RFK Jr., but you let Trump get away with everything because he doesn't know shit about shit.
Well, he was great. It was a great 4 years. We had a great 4 years under Donald Trump, and I just want that to come back. And I want my gas to be $2.35 a gallon.
All right, let's do Honest Don here for a
minute. But don't you agree the RFK thing is like the dumbest shit?
Yeah, that's why we did it right at the top here.
For this to be, and for the New York Times to give this, I mean, I guess they have to report on it, but if they didn't, would anybody go, hey, you didn't have that really important RFK Jr. vice president story. Why aren't you guys covering him? That's not fair.
Well, if they have it and they suppress it, or they knew it and then it appears somewhere else.
Suppress it. Brad, I just farted in the kitchen. The New York Times didn't say anything about that. Are they suppressing that story? By the way, that fart has a better chance of being president than RFK Jr. does. It's on the ballot in 13 states.
Would you like to interview the fart?
Like tonight on News Nation with Chris Cuomo.
All right, so Trump, in the middle of the night, overnight Tuesday into Wednesday, because really that's when he does his best work on social media. Somewhere between 12:30 and 4:30 in the morning. Those are the golden hours, aren't they?
Doesn't that really? And again, I don't want to bring your wife, who is a medical professional, into this, but doesn't that sort of hint towards some manic sort of state of mind when you're like at these incredible hours and your mind just kind of churns? Isn't that some sort of manic thing that you're doing?
Why would you single that aspect of
it? I'm just saying
it's not fair to everything else that's wrong with it.
It's a Roger Waters, another brick in the wall there.
Yeah. All right. So he writes this screed about debating Joe Biden and challenging him for the good of our now failing nation, and in order to inform the American people what's going on in our country, we must immediately have a full-scale debate between Crooked Joe and Honest Don. I'm ready to go anytime, any place. That's the last three sentences of his screed. And Honest Don, he somehow thinks that that's not likely to be grabbed by us, by our side, and used against him. Because, of course, you know, there's not one bit of honesty about him. So, of course, you say Honest Don and ha, 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 ha. But I think it's perfect. I think it's perfect. Let's start calling him Honest Don. And everybody knows what you're doing when you say that, right?
Right.
What do you think?
It's pejorative. It's sarcastic. It's all of those things.
That's right. And he came up with it. Okay. If someone else did it, it wouldn't work quite as well. But because he did it and he thinks he's being ironic, funny, I don't know what or he really believes it, which of course he can't possibly believe it. He has to know he's lived his whole life as a crook, a criminal, one who skirted the law, one who's walked the line, one who learned from his father and from attorney Roy Cohn just how to get away with shit. He's got to know that. So to call himself honest, it's, I love it. I love it. Let's run with it. You could do the t-shirts with his picture, Honest Don. Can someone come up to you in the mall and punch you if you're wearing a shirt that says Honest Don? No, they can't. Now, if you say Criminal Don, they can come up to you and argue with you. They can't if you do that.
I love the idea. He's kind of self-owning on this as far as like a Baghdad Bob kind of situation. Yeah. I kind of dig that.
Yeah. That's the whole story.
The Photoshop that I had him at a used car lot, and he had like the small tie that goes down to the middle of his chest, and he's trying to, you know, sell you a bucket of bolts and shit like that. And he had, you know, had the Honest Don's used right. car moniker on there. That was what right. I saw. I saw some of the good. He's getting dragged on that one for sure.
He should. All right. Georgia on my mind.
Why is Georgia on your mind, Brad?
Well, there's some, and I know we try not to do this, but we fall into it sometimes, polling. This is a CBS YouGov poll, and there's a real interesting disparity, and it's actually really, really hopeful relating to Georgia, and it probably applies to a lot of other states too, including the very one that we're in, North Carolina. And they asked people, which one of these guys will make you better off financially? And of course, more people in Georgia, by a large margin, say Trump policies will make them better financially. That's right. 48% say Trump policies will make them better financially. And only 22% say Biden policies will make them better off financially. And of course, it's in the opposite direction, which will make you worse off. Way more, 48% say Biden policies will make them worse off, and only 33% of Trump policies will make them worse off. And before we, and let's put aside the people who vote against their own interests. This is not about let me finish before you say the predictably obvious thing, which I'm trying to stop before you fuck up the whole bit, okay?
Okay.
All right? Ready. Jesus. So there's this big disparity between people who think that Trump will make them better off financially versus Biden. And if it is the economy stupid, or it's the economy stupid, which is the right way to say it, then you would think that Donald Trump would be crushing Joe Biden in Georgia overall if the race were to be held tomorrow, right? Well, right now it's 51-48, Trump by 3 points mm-hmm. over Biden. So what does that tell you?
Margin
that
error.
Tells you that even in Georgia, Georgia, where we don't think of them as, you know, overall a brilliant state, they're able to differentiate what they think might be better for them economically with considering some other issues. And there are other issues, even in Georgia, besides selfishness on how much money can I make with this guy in the White House, that a lot of them are saying Trump might make me better off financially, but I'm still voting for Joe Biden. And if they're that close together right now with that disparity, with job won by the Democrats, and I think it's working pretty well, you don't see it a lot yet in the polls moving, but it's coming, people feeling better about the economy. This whole thing about, well, the inflation is still too high, it's coming down, but bullshit, the cost of it's closing. That's closing. That's getting a little bit better all the time. And that's a huge disparity of people who think Trump is the better person for them economically, but I'm not voting for Donald Trump. Now go ahead.
Oh, no. But you know what's looming in the background? Just like a shark fin in the water.
Yes.
Those gas prices, they're going back up right now, Brad.
Well, I understand that. I understand that. But you can only work with what you have at the moment. And by the way, with gas prices going up now, this is a good time for them to go up. Because guess what? The likelihood is that they will come back down again. And the timing could be very fortuitous. They don't stay up for 2 years. They don't stay up for a year. They move up and down, up and down. So I'm not worried about that.
You can't dismiss the people who are voting against their own economic interests, because those are the people that are giving him the lead in this poll economically. That's exactly what's going on in Georgia, unless I'm incorrect.
But a lot of them are still voting for Biden. That's the point.
Every one of the 1% in America has moved to Georgia in the past few years, and I'm not aware of it, but I don't think that's what's happened. They're voting it. But, you know, as you say, the race is close and it's probably within the margin of error. It's kind of within the margin of error, even here in North Carolina, where we're sort of a lost cause. Sadly, I haven't given up on Georgia at all. I think Georgia could be fine for Joe Biden to win again. I think the margin in 2024 could even be bigger for Joe Biden than it was in 2020. I think it'd be more. And it was a pretty small margin anyway. How many votes was it, Brad?
11,780.
I think they're going to do better than that. And if you start off with pocket aces, and that is Arizona and Georgia, and I don't think Arizona is a given, but I think it's a possibility. If you start with those two states in your pocket as you go forward, that makes life a little bit easier in 2024. Then you don't have to start around that much.
Right. If you want to play horse race here, though, Trump is ahead in all seven of the battleground states, including Arizona and North Carolina.
I think things are better in Wisconsin.
It's within the margin. And you know, when you look beneath the horse race number at things like this, it does give you some hope. It should. It ought to.
I really think there's a lot of hope out there. And usually, you know, I'm the gloom and doom guy. But I think, you know, the fundraising stuff is good. I think the performance at the State of the Union was way better than they were thinking that was going to be. I think there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's fine. The economy, stupid, as you talk about, continues to be undeniably really, 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 really good. Unfortunately, we did see a little bit of an uptick on those inflation numbers. But I think there's a lot of good stuff to look at. As far as not losing. But this is the problem when you see this shit in Georgia with these people who are clearly too dumb to get it and voting against their economic interests. It's like, if this was not so destructive for our country and so personally punishing to me, I would say, yeah, fuck it. Four more years of Trump. Let him get in there and let these assholes get pummeled. Because that's exactly what happens. The Trump coalition, the Trump voters are the ones that suffer way more under his policies. I'm not talking about the super rich guys. I'm not talking about the Wall Street idiots. I'm talking about the guys who are the blue collar folks that work in the trailer parks and have the trucks with the toolboxes on them and shit like that. Those are the guys that get their ass kicked by Donald Trump, and they're too dumb to know it.
Yeah, but don't you remember when Trump put that coal miner's hat on and pantomimed digging coal? That was good. He was good.
I don't even think they do that shit anymore. Like, we're going to bring it back. I don't think they even do that shit anymore, do they?
Because he was allowed to lie about that for 4 years and after that. But now that it didn't happen, it never was brought up, right?
They had these, I remember in 2020, they had these stories about these coal miners in Pennsylvania. And they said, all right, we got training for you because this coal mining thing is pretty much fucking dead. So we have training for you at a community college at no cost to you, and you can learn a trade. And you guys are good at working with your hands, so you can become an electrician, plumber, HVAC guy. You can learn how to frame houses, something like that, and you can make money. And they said, nah, we're not going to do that because Trump said coal's coming back. I mean, this was not like a small number of people.
You could make a list longer than two of your arms about stuff like that that was said. That was never enacted on, but people think, boy, that phrase, the working man's billionaire. Don't you just want to vomit on that one? That is just un- blue-collar billionaire.
Blue-collar billionaire. And, oh, God, yeah. It's like, and I see these people, and I know these people, and it's like, he's the people that, you don't understand, you guys are the people that he doesn't pay. When he has work done for them, he's the one that, he fucks those people over. When they do any kind of work for him at all, he never pays them. If he could get away with not paying these lawyers, he would do that. But the lawyers talk to each other a lot, and they kind of want to get paid.
They're a little smarter than the average bear, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. With that in mind, let's turn to a columnist. You see him on TV on NBC sometimes, Ed Luce of the Financial Times. Britain. He's got a very, very formal kind of British accent when he speaks, but he's a great writer. And the title of his piece, so far off the charts, it's almost paranormal. And he's going to go back all the way about a week and mention a few things. And then talk about the fact that the shock value of all the shit that comes rolling off the mountain from Trump's bullshit mountain. That's a John Stewart copyrighted phrase, yes. Right? Bullshit mountain. Or was that, he called it Fox bullshit mountain, right?
Fox was bullshit mountain. Fox News is bullshit mountain.
Fox was bullshit mountain. However, Ed Luce says that Trump hasn't gotten any less shocking than he was 8 years ago. And he noted that over the last week, Trump made inflammatory statements and took several alarming actions that for any other candidate would be on the front page of every major American newspaper and lead every newscast. Here you go. He purged the Republican National Committee with 60 staff firings, the opening move by his daughter-in-law, North Carolina's Laura Trump, who he handpicked to be the co-chair of the RNC. Now off of the column and to me. Again, this reminds me so much of that grainy video that existed 22 years ago during the lead up to the Iraq war, when we were seeing what Saddam Hussein was all about. And there was a grainy video of this meeting of the whatever parliament existed in Iraq, and it was Saddam Hussein pointing to people in the audience who were immediately escorted out by the secret police, never to be seen again. He purged the government right in front of other government workers as an example to stay in line.
It was much cooler when Elvis was like pointing at girls to go backstage with him back in the day. That was a much better thing.
Well, certainly similar, but
red, sunny, that one there.
Right. So Donald Trump, through his daughter-in-law, gets rid of every person on the Republican National Committee. One of my favorite committees, by the way.
One of my favorites.
Back to Luce. He did a U-turn on TikTok, now saying its Chinese parent company should retain ownership. And we know what that's all about. There are two things. Number one, he had a meeting last week with this billionaire guy who has a $30 billion stake through his company in ByteDance, the owner of TikTok. So the guy says to Trump, change your mind. Do not come out against TikTok. Do not come out in favor of the legislation that was pending as of when they spoke about TikTok having to be sold off from its Chinese ownership. Do not do that, Don. And wink, wink, I might help you with some of your financial issues. So Trump changes his mind when, of course, Trump was the original politician in this country when he was president who said that TikTok should be banned. And you know what? Trump was right. And he was right for the correct reason that the Chinese government has its hand in the data that's been collected on, what is it, 185 million Americans now who use TikTok? So Trump was right. Now he's wrong the vote today in the House was overwhelming to move the legislation over to the Senate. The only question is, can the highly respected, not anymore, never really was, but they had to pretend he was, Mitch McConnell, convince anybody to do the right thing? Or will they all cave to what Trump thinks is the right thing now under the guise of freedom and the First Amendment? Because Elon Musk, I believe, is on the Trump side on this, because, hey, first they came for TikTok, then they came for Twitter, right? Or X, right, or whatever. Oh, bullshit. That's bullshit. They should come for you for a lot of different reasons, Musk, but not necessarily the same one that they're coming for that. So that's one of the things that Luce mentions. He mimicked Joe Biden's stutter, insisted that America's true inflation rate. Do you remember what he said the inflation rate was last week during one of the speeches? What it really is?
What did he say?
50%. 50. 50. And of course, he did attack Jimmy Kimmel as the worst Oscars host ever, which is not true. We all know who the worst Oscars host was ever. Was it Whoopi Goldberg?
I think it was David didn't Letterman. That year that Letterman did it was terrible.
It wasn't terrible. That's the point. Letterman did a shtick on himself about it. You know, he just replayed the Oprah Uma thing over and over again, as if that's the sum total of a 4-hour program. Letterman was fine. He was Dave.
Wasn't that good? Oh, wait a minute. Didn't Seth MacFarlane do it one year? Yeah, that was one. That was very bad because I remember you defended that.
Oh. So right. When I defend something, it's automatically.
It had to be bad. And you know what he said? He said they should put the Barbecue Hall of Fame in Burlington, North Carolina.
I remember. One more thing from Luce. It seems almost trivial to add that new details emerged about Trump's apparent soft spot for Adolf Hitler. Yeah, big deal. All this leads Luce to say Trump's candidacy is so far off the charts, it's almost paranormal.
I don't think his affinity for Adolf Hitler even comes close to what Mark Robinson's is, though. He's got to step it up. Donald Trump does, I think.
Yeah, but who was first?
Well, touche.
The problem, writes Luce, is that not highlighting Trump's regular abnormality leads to a massive double standard in which he is not judged anywhere close the same criteria as other politicians, which of course is completely true, but Trump has his flock, his cult, his admirers, the fealty crowd, the bootlickers, the ass kissers, believing that, yeah, he's not judged by the same criteria as other politicians. He's judged more harshly, when of course the opposite is completely and totally true.
That's true.
He ended his column with a warning that Americans need to take Trump's dangerous rhetoric seriously, no matter how old hat it now seems. Well, we take it seriously. People who have never been fooled by Trump take it seriously, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you get like a stone in the pond where radiates out to people who might not notice it. It's very difficult to punch through to those folks, isn't it? It's very hard.
If not impossible. And
if their first go-to is, number one, it's not true, or number two, I didn't hear that, so therefore it's definitely not true, or number three, I watch Fox News and they never mention it, so it can't be true, you're making it up, I'm with Trump. You know, you've got a lot of onion skin layers to get through to people, but I think I'll lean back on the Georgia polling, which has a 15 to 20% disparity between people who think he's going to make them a few extra bucks, but, you know, there are other things happening in the world, too. I don't know how many Ukrainian Americans live in Georgia. Who knows? There might be a lot of them. We don't, you know. Now, I certainly know there are a lot of, what do we call them? Oh, women who live in Georgia. and might be concerned about reproductive rights as crunched by the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, there are a lot of things working, and I think we do get caught up in just being lazy and saying, well, it's the economy, stupid. Clinton said it, James Carville made it famous, and that's forever. That's the only thing that matters. Or here's another one, ready? Well, when you have nothing to say about an issue, when you got nothing to add to it, you go, well, all politics is local.
That's so dumb. But
it's not. You know what? If anything now, all politics is national.
Yeah, correct.
Everything is national. But how does the whole country learn about Mark Robinson? And it is getting out there. He's on every national broadcast that you can imagine. And he's being presented as he should be in most places. And I'm sure he's being celebrated on Fox. They probably have him on five times a day. He's probably like Ron DeSantis was a year ago when Ron DeSantis was the golden boy for those few minutes. Remember that? He'd be everywhere.
They loved him for a minute, and then he got the stink of death on him, and then all of a sudden he just, went away.
Well, but Mark Robinson has, he's got his 6 or 7 months left to go until the election, until he loses. Then he doesn't exist anymore.
He's done. Okay. You don't hear shit about DeSantis. Boy, he went into the bunker, didn't he?
That's right. He didn't go to the bunker. He's just irrelevant. He's irrelevant. And apparently in Florida, suddenly now there are some Republicans who were part of the lay down for DeSantis, any kind of stupid legislation that he wants, they're not quite so willing to fall in line with him anymore. So Florida has a slight chance, I wouldn't give it much more than a slight chance, of righting itself a little more away from stupid-ass bullshit social issues as the driving force behind the politics of that state that may have played itself out in a lot of ways. And as usual, somebody overdoes it, like Ron DeSantis. And you see what good it did him when he tried to run for higher office. It went nowhere. It just backfired on him. So,
well, it was just in Florida, you may have seen, just like being a public school teacher is a very difficult job under the best of circumstances. They've made it about 10 times worse in Florida. I don't even understand how people are able to go to work as public school teachers in Florida.
Well, that's among other things. Florida being the gigantic state that it is, not just geographically, but in population. What is Florida, the third most right behind Texas now?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's California, Texas, and Florida. And they had a lot of immigrant labor, illegal immigrant labor, guest immigrant labor, our neighbors' immigrant labor there to do a lot of the same kind of jobs that are done elsewhere in all the kinds of professions that Americans are too lazy to do. And I understand that people who run restaurants and people who employ folks in those kinds of trades are furious that they've chased away a lot of people who might have wanted to settle in Florida for whatever reason.
Right.
Because of the culture wars and the throwing people on airplanes and sending them up to Cape Cod. I didn't sign up for Cape Cod. I didn't sign up for Martha's Vineyard. I didn't sign up for Upper Manhattan.
Right.
So it seemed so brilliant at the time. Remember, there was about a minute where when he chartered those flights and chartered them out of Texas and they flew out of Florida up to Martha's Vineyard for about 1 minute, you could find columns in the Wall Street Journal saying DeSantis is being attacked, but it's brilliant strategy.
Great stuff.
It's absolutely brilliant. It can't be different.
Not so much anymore.
Not so much. Not so much. And in a way, I'm trying to just think out loud here as I say this. It's a terrible word to use, democratized the problem with borders and immigration, democratized in that it's not just the border states anymore. It's everywhere because you're sending these folks very often involuntarily everywhere. And what did that result in? That resulted in the Democrats moving to the center and compromising and even allowing the Republicans to fashion this piece of legislation a few weeks ago that it was very Clinton-like, I thought, Bill Clinton-like, for Joe Biden to say, go ahead, I'll sign it. Sometimes you have to piss off your core constituencies in the name of getting stuff done. And so Biden was on board, it was ready to go. And what happened? Trump saw that success was right at the door, right at the door. So being the wily, clever guy that he is, he actually says, I don't want this problem solved because I want to be able to say I solved it when I'm elected president and I need it to stew. And he probably picked up the phone to remind the president of Fox News, that's Suzanne Scott. Mm-hmm. But apparently she's like a cockroach. She's survived every purge at Fox, right? Going back to Roger Ailes. I don't know what the deal is with her, what she's got on somebody. But I'm sure that Trump called up and reminded them as if they needed to remind. It's time to start firing up the stories about the caravans again. The invading caravans were getting close to an election, which, by the way, did not work in 2022 or 2020 or 2018. But boy, it sure plays well to Donald Trump when he's sitting there in the morning all by himself with a phone in one hand and the remote control in the other. He probably still has executive time for himself in the morning, like the same schedule he had when he was in the presidency in the White House, where he just sits there and watches TV all morning long and seethes with the phone and the clicker in the other hand. And if it makes him happy, that's all that mattered. Let's bottom line the crap yesterday from Robert Hur, because we were on while he was still talking. Is there any doubt that I've heard anybody else say this, but I'll say it. He was doing the famous talking to the audience of one.
Yeah.
Everything he was saying, and nobody kind of called him out for it. Eric Swalwell just fucking cornered him beautifully and said, will you pledge right now to not take any position if there's a second Trump administration, that you will not take any position, which of course meant federal judge or attorney general or something. And he wouldn't answer the question. He would not answer the question. He answered something that was never asked and moved on. So to me, that was game over right there. Why wouldn't you say that? If you were non-political, if you were just calling balls and strikes, which you weren't, if you were really an honest prosecutor, you would have said, of course, this is not about trying to get the next job. That's not what I'm doing. That's not what I was set up for. No, that's not what I was here for. And that's not what I did that job for. That's not why I did all this. But he couldn't say it. He wouldn't say it. And by the way, when I looked at Mr. Hur, and I'm sorry, I hope we don't lose a lot of sponsors over this, but he really looks like one of those guys who's on the bad side in a James Bond movie that he's playing cards against or roulette against in a casino in a James Bond movie. They always look like that guy, don't they?
Yeah, Baccarat.
They always look like Robert Hur. And by the way, that's a compliment.
Is it a compliment?
Yeah, it is.